Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles. Love the book of Romans. I preached a whole series through the book of Romans a few years ago, and it was one of the most challenging series I've done. And yet at the same time, it was one of the most enriching series I've ever done in my ministry. Romans chapter 1, call your attention to verse number 18. Romans 1, verse number 18. The Bible said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the meaning, the perfection of your word. We thank you for what you teach us in this passage. So I pray today that you would open up our hearts, our understanding, illuminate our minds to the truth. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us in the moments that we have together in this service. And may, Lord, if there's one here without Christ, may this be the day that they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Thank you. first married, we really wanted to do everything right. You know, we had all the energy of the young couple had. We just wanted to make sure that everything we did was exactly right. And we were planning for our future, and we're thinking about our kids, and we were thinking about all the things that come with being married and maybe having our house one day, and about retirement and our future and all of those things. So we were really excited. And then one day we met somebody who came to us, who introduced us to something that we had never heard of. It's called multi-level marketing. And what they did was they said, come to a meeting. And as we kind of, you know, we were listening to what they were saying, it piqued our interest because they were promising this. Just think, you can make more money and that will enable you to be able to put some money away for retirement. You'll be able to, give more to God. That was really attractive. You'll be able to, you know, be debt-free. You'll be able to pay cash for everything. Sounded really good. What we didn't realize is when we jumped in, the people at the top got all the money. None of us got anything. We believed the lie. We believed the lie. Have you ever believed a lie? Maybe you found yourself deceived. But in this passage of Scripture, and by the way, I'm not saying that everybody who's in multi-level marketing has believed a lie. I'm not suggesting that. I'm telling you this, that there's something more insidious and dangerous in this passage that God speaks of, and that is that all of us have believed a spiritual lie. There's a spiritual lie that's being perpetrated by the father of lies, Satan himself. And that lie has been believed from the very first man to where we are today. It's been believed by that. And so I want to preach on the subject of truth behind the lie. Now let me help you to understand a little bit about what God is saying. These verses that I just read to you are some of the deepest verses in the Bible and the most revealing of understanding what this whole world is about and what all the problems are, why we are where we are. But I want you to notice something, all right? Joel, if we could move on to the next slide. I think you should have one. No, the next one. That's the one. First of all, to know what the lie is, we've got to know what the truth is, right? You realize the truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the very first thing we have to know and understand biblically is that Jesus Christ is all truth. In fact, there's nothing in Jesus that is not true. There is no impurity. There was no sin in his life. Jesus from A to Z is holy. He's right. He's righteous, he's godly, he's exalted. I mean, that's who Jesus is. But here's the lie. The lie is to glorify anything else other than Jesus. That's the lie. So Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan came to Eve and said to her that there is something better in this garden than God. And they bit into the lie. So we have to understand what I'm talking about. In this passage, what we see is the truth is Jesus. The lie is glorifying anything other than Jesus. So I want to help us to get this picture because this is very, very important. Because what, in essence, we're doing, or at least I would say what the lie is doing, is the lie is robbing God of his glory. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 42. I am the Lord. That is my name. In my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So what God is saying is that God is saying that he is all glory and he is not sharing his glory with anything else or anyone else. is powerful and very significant. So then how can we understand then what the lie is? Well, the lie is going to center around taking God's glory and God's praise from him and putting it on something else. And so I want to help us to look at this, because there are three misconceptions. If the devil's going to get us to believe something that is a lie, he's going to have to get us to rethink things. We have to think things not biblically, not godly, not holily, as you would. We're going to have to think things from another perspective. So we're given three misconceptions. I want you to write them down. You have notes in there in your bulletin. I want you to write down, here's the first misconception. The very first misconception, if we're going to believe the lie, is we must have a misconception of God. We have a misconception of God. And I find in these verses that God shows me that in this misconception, that there are three aspects of it. You see, if Satan wants to get all the glory, or at least get all the praise, and at least get all the attention, he must somehow or another get you and I to believe that something is better than God. He has to get us to believe that. So how does he do that? Well, letter A, we're to ignore God's revelation, verse number 19. Let's look at verse 19 again with me. I know I kind of read them through, but let's go back and look at them. And notice what verse 19 says. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has given us who he is right within us. We are created in God's image. Everything about who God is, he's placed within us by our instinct. There's a natural bent to want to worship God. Go over, if you would, to chapter 2, please, for just a moment. In verse number 14, Paul further explains this under inspiration. Notice what he says in verse 14. He says, Romans chapter 2, 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. In other words, when they accidentally do the right thing, these have not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. So what happens is then you have within you and I have within me a natural instinct to want to worship something. In this case, we are to worship God. God has placed that. We are social beings. We are to worship, and we are designed to worship. That as I've said before, that God-sized hole that's in your life, you want to naturally worship something. And it's interesting because this is instinct that God has placed. You see, we are created for that purpose, and we have to understand that. So we get a hold of this concept that if we see that God has made me this way, and that's what I'm to do, and that I'm to worship God, and I'm to honor God, if somehow or another I can get, the devil can get me to ignore God's revelation about this, then what will happen is I will find myself confused on who I'm to worship or what I'm to worship. You know, I was sitting in a room about three weeks ago. There was a psychologist, a doctor of psychology. He came into the room and he was kind of teaching a little bit, and anyone had any questions, and questions came up, and he deals with mental health and those who have mental health issues, the one thing he said I thought was most interesting, and maybe some of you in the medical field know this, they asked the question, well, what is it that people come in, what is the discussion, what do they deal with the most? And there are two. Are you ready? Sex and God or religion. Those are the two things. In other words, what when they go in and they discuss things, that's the thing that they're driven about. And here's the reason why. Both are instinct. And what I'm saying is this. If the devil can get us to somehow believe in the lie that we're not to worship God, we're to worship something else, then what he's done is he's got us to ignore the very revelation of God and how he made you and me. Now, just follow me, because some of you are going, what in the world? Where are we going with this? It'll make sense in a minute. So what the devil's trying to get us to believe, and I'm giving you the truth behind the lie, is that God is not worthy of your worship. That you don't need God. That you can live better without God. That's what he's trying to get you to believe. And that you can have religion instead of God. Or you can have a philosophy that brings pleasure to you instead of God. That's what the devil is trying to get us to believe. And sadly, so many people in our world have bought into the lie. And that's spiritual suicide, if you would. Because if you notice here that they're ignoring the very revelation, as God says in verse number 19. But verse 21, I notice secondly, they also dishonor God's glory. Do you realize the very purpose of your existence, the very reason why we are here, is to bring glory and honor to God? That's why I'm here. Someone asked me one time, well, you know, do you know what your purpose in life is? It's one and the same that every one of us have. We are to honor and glorify God. That's our purpose. That's the chief end of man. That's what it's all about. And I put a quote in there, and here's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They turned from the very purpose for which God made them, to glorify him for his person and thank him for his works. You see, our purpose in life is one. There's not 10, 20, 30, one, to glorify God. Now, here's my question today. I want to ask you this. Are you glorifying God in your life? See, here's what we do. We have a way of missing this purpose because we see God from a whole different perspective. Here's the way we see God. God is not about us glorifying him. It's about him glorifying us. So we miss the purpose. So when we read our Bibles, here's how we like to read it. We like to read the Bible where we open it up and it's about us. But can I remind you of this? It's not about us. It's about God. So when I open the Bible, then quite honestly, you know, let me give an example. For example, David and Goliath. The story of David and Goliath. You know, for years, and by the way, God has taught me this in recent months. For years, I preached the story that you are David and Goliath is all the giants of this world. And they're out there to get you. And they could be fear. And they could be unforgiving spirit. Or they can be, that project at work. Or it could be that difficulty you struggle with. Or your health problems. And it makes good preaching, but that's not what the story is about. Because quite frankly, the story is not about you. The story is about God conquering evil. And can I remind you of this? That this book that you and I open up, this book is about God and his glory. And our life is about God and his glory. Our life is not about how we can advance and be better. You see, what we like to do is we want to make God our Santa Claus. We want to make God, you, look, you make me happy. Lord, you give me what I want. I want my family to be happy, and I want this, and I want that. And Lord, you give me that position. When the bottom line is, it's not about you, it's about him. How am I doing? Are you following where I'm coming from in this? So what we're doing is we're looking here in the passage, and if we're not careful, we're going to fall in the same trap that those who do not know God have fallen into, believing that there's something better in this world than Jesus Christ. There's something better in their life than Jesus Christ. There's something that there's a better functional Savior than Jesus Christ. Because a lot of Christians, that's how they see God. They just want God to be a big Santa Claus. And they just want God to give them what they want. And they don't understand that by doing that, they are dishonoring the very glory of God, because God is not concerned about what you want. He's concerned about His will, not yours. And that's what I find in this passage. You see, really, in essence, what we're saying to God is, if God gives us something else other than what we want, we're not satisfied with God. Several years ago, when I was starting our church in Woodland, I'll never forget, I learned a valuable lesson one Monday morning. Man, that week I'd worked very hard. And I mean, you talk about, you say, I personally, that week, I do remember this just as clear as a bell. I knocked over 500 doors by myself, trying to get people to come and, you know, reaching that community and loving those people. And I had people who I've made contacts with and sent out letters, and I spent Saturday morning following up on all my prospects and everything. That morning when I went to church and I prayed and I begged God and I fasted, I wanted God to do something really special on that Sunday, and I got there and it was half of what I had the week before. And it was as if God didn't even show up. And I was just discouraged. I mean, I was just like, I've had it. And I just wanted to quit. And I'll never forget, I had a phone call from a guy that was helping me. His name is Harvey Seidel, and some of you know Harvey. And I remember Harvey, I called him up and I said, Harvey. Or he called me and he asked me how it went, because he knew what I was doing. And I said, it didn't go so well. And I started crying and complaining about God to him. Here's what he said. Did you pray? Yes. Did you go out soul winning? Yes. Did you seek God's will? Yes. Then are you saying to me that you're not satisfied with what God did? I said, shut up. Are you with me? Now translate that into your world. What about you? Where are you in that? Okay, my world's church world. Your world is something else. But how many of us have ever found ourselves guilty of, I'm not satisfied with what you did, God. I just dishonored the glory of God in my life. And what God is saying to you and to me, God is saying, look, we have to understand that His will is supreme, that His glory is the most important, that what He wants in my life is much more important than what I would consider that I need in my life. I mean, God is everything, and all I am is to bring honor and glory to Him. But verse 21, the natural progression. When I dishonor God's glory, the natural progression is this: I become ungrateful of God's grace. Notice what it says in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. All of a sudden, I realize the fact that if I'm not careful, that at that moment in my life, and I learned a valuable lesson many, many years ago, that if I wasn't careful, I could become, not only was I discouraged, but I become ungrateful to God. Because God didn't give me what I wanted. You realize that our heart can be sabotaged by Satan himself with wrong desires and place within us a concept that is not the right biblical concept of God. Wiersbe said these words, man was willing to use God's gifts, but he was not willing to worship and praise God for his gifts. What I'm saying to you and today, to you and me today, is this: the devil's going to get us to believe a lie, and the lie is that somehow there's something better than God, that we can trust in something other than God. But what we have to realize is the start of that is to get a misconception of God. Now, here's my question to you is, how well do you know God? I'm not talking about how many verses you memorized. I'm not talking about the fact that you know all the hymns and you grew up in Sunday school and going maybe even to a Christian school and you heard and read all the Bible many, many times over and you memorized many of the verses in the Bible. I'm not asking you about that. That's head knowledge. I'm asking you about your heart knowledge. Do you know Him? Do you really, really know Him? Not the fact that, yes, you've been in church for a while, but do you walk with God? I mean, when He speaks to your heart, is it in sync with you and God? That's my question. You see, you know when what happens? We get disappointed because God doesn't do what we want Him to do. So that's where the Satan starts working, you know, see? And he starts perverting and altering our conception of who God is in our life. And I'm going to tell you, that's foundational. But as I look into this passage, it doesn't end with that. Because the Bible said that what happens then is that if I get this misconception of God and who God is and what God is to do in my life and all of these things, I start believing a lie, and here's the next misconception. I have a misconception of nature. All of a sudden, I have, it's now nature, something other than God. Since I have a scarred view of who God is, what happens is, then I will begin to worship the creature rather than the Creator. I'll begin to worship something other than God. I'll begin to since God is not fulfilling what I think He should be, and so now I have a skewed view of God. All of my thoughts of Him are confused, and really God isn't meeting up to my standard. What's going to happen is my natural inclination, my drive within, that burning passion in my heart to want to worship something goes from a God who is a holy, just, risen Savior to something that I see visibly. Nature. And so when I do, according to these verses, the Bible says that something happens because I start making changes to the purpose and what they are. Let me call your attention to Psalm 119, because here's what happens. The very first problem when I have a misconception of nature is I change the purpose of what nature is. Psalm 119, would you go there with me, please? Psalm 119. I'm sorry, Psalm 19. Let's make it Psalm 19. I love the book of Psalms. How about you? I think they're wonderful. Just love to open them up. I could sit and read them just until eternity. In fact, I hope when we get to heaven, there is a psalm tent. I'm going to go hide out in there, all right? We open up in Psalm 19, and God tells us the very purpose of nature. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of what? And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night uttereth or showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Now here's how this works. Watch this. Here's what God says. He made nature for one purpose. You know what that purpose is? It's to point to God. God made nature for the purpose for man to point to God, eternal, holy God. That's the purpose of it. It wasn't for us to worship the stars and the trees and the animals. It was that we were to look at that to point us to God. We call that natural revelation. In other words, God uses nature, and in that nature, it points us to God. But when you have a wrong concept of God, when somewhere along the way, the devil behind the truth, behind the lie now, when the devil begins to lie to us, we start thinking of, wait a minute, God is not. So there has to be something. And so we attach ourselves, if we're not careful, to something that is natural rather than something that is holy. That's what we see here. So here you're looking at, they change the purpose of nature. So nature is no longer that which points us to God to bring glory and honor to God. So nature now is being devalued and brought to the place where we go from worshiping God to where we simply worship the creation itself. All of creation points to Jesus Christ and his ultimate redemption in the future. Let me read some verses back over in Romans chapter 8. I wrote them in your notes, but let me read them to you. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature," now, by the way, that's creation, that's nature, "was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." What's he talking about? He's saying that we go from the fact that we're worshiping creature and we're worshiping nature to where that nature cries out and we want the redemption of God Almighty. So mankind misunderstands the purpose of nature. We've changed the purpose from that of glorifying God to where we look at the creation rather than the Creator. That's the lie. So we hear so often about these things in our world and how we are to, we're just like the world. And this is where the big fallacy of evolution comes in, because what it's basically saying is you and I are nothing more than evolved animals. Oh, no, my friend, we're not evolved animals. We are made in the very image of God with a living soul. But then it goes on. There's one more thought in this idea of nature, is that we have exchanged the eternal for the temporal. You see, nature reveals God and God's power. Nature shows us through its revelation that what we see is only temporal. We know that trees die. We know that animals die. I was reading a book this week, and on the book it was focusing around the fact that the human being is the only person that knows that the end of their life is going to be death. And I want to remind you of this today, that what you and I are to worship is not that which is only transitory and temporal. Why would we ever want to worship a tree or an animal or something like that? Why not worship the eternal God himself? And that's what Paul's trying to get them to understand, because in the first century, that's what they worshiped. They looked to the stars and they looked to all these things and they created their gods and their goddesses. And what God is saying is, oh no, you misunderstand. The purpose of those things is to point to me, who the ultimate person that they're pointing to is Jesus Christ himself. So when you have a misconception of God, you're going to have a misconception of nature. That's why many Christians have accepted evolution as fact, when the truth of the matter is it is not a fact. God made all things according to the Bible. And by the way, just to let you know, that in the end, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth one day. And he's not going to use evolution to make it happen. He's going to speak and it's going to happen. Amen and amen. Revelation chapter 21 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You know what God is saying? Stop worshiping this planet and the nature and all these things, and look to me, because all of this is going to be destroyed one day. I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But see, that's what happens. We get a misconception of God, then we have a misconception of nature. But let me call your attention to one more misconception I find here, is a misconception of man. Who are you? So here's what happens. We go from God and worshiping God when Adam and Eve was worshiping God and fellowshipping with God and communicating with God and bringing glory to God and recognize His holiness and His righteousness and all of these things, to where now they start focusing on the trees. And they got enamored with the tree because, you see, the devil was working in their mind, giving them a lie to believe that there is something better than God, and it's that fruit of that tree. They start entertaining that thought in their mind. As they entertained that thought in their mind, the third lie came. And these are just three parts of a lie, I guess you could say. The third part came: ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So now it goes from God, nature, to me. I'm a God. I'm God. I'm the master of my future. I'm the master of my destiny. It's for me. It's about me. And that's a third misconception the Bible is very clear on. Mankind has only one purpose: to glorify God. But the lie says that God has but one purpose, and that's to glorify me. In other words, God, you're here to glorify me. God, I want you to do this for me. God, I go to church and you owe it to me. Can I tell you this? The only thing that God owes us is judgment. But by His grace, He forgives us. Amen and amen. So what happens in this misconception of humanity? Letter A, we deify humanity. Ye shall be as gods. Man substitutes the glory of God into the glory of man. Instead, man created in God's image, we have man made God in His image. When man becomes his own God, he can do whatever he pleases without fear of judgment. And what God is recording in Romans chapter 1, which is a strong indictment on those who have taken and bought the lie. Can I call your attention back down to verse number 25, please? Would you go back with me and look at verse 25? Here's what the Bible says: who changed the truth of God into a lie. Changed the truth of God into a lie. Look, that's what Satan has done since the beginning of time. Changing the truth of God into a lie to get us to believe that. This is spiritual homicide, if you would, by Satan himself. He can get us to believe that. He can get us to buy into that. So what happens is we find ourselves buying into it. Yeah? I understand that. Hey, after all, you know, I deserve it. And sometimes here's what we do. And Satan's really good at this. And I know that some of you probably have to say, yeah, I can laugh about that, but it's true. Satan will come to you and there'll be some sin that you'll be tempted to do. And here's what Satan will do. You work hard. You go to church every day. You love God. You live for God. You deserve this one, just this one time. And you give in. And that's how Satan works. And then, because here's the reason why. You're important. Your world. Can I remind you? It's not your world. It's God's world. It's by the grace of God we're here. How am I doing today? You guys with me? We have to stop deifying humanity. You know, we have some pretty amazing human beings in our world, but nothing compared to God. In fact, the truth of the matter is, Anybody that could be so amazing can be snuffed out that quick too as well. What God is saying to us is we need to stop deifying humanity, and write this one down, dethroning the Creator. Dethroning the Creator. So whenever we bind the lie, we just basically said, you're no creator. You have no authority over me. I don't have to do what you tell me to do. And what God is showing us, when they go that far with the lie, the end of chapter 1 is not very flattering to humanity. He spells it out. He gives us a list of sins. All of those sins are stacked one against another, because what happens is when you reject God and reject and understand what nature is, and you start emphasizing humanity instead of God, and you kick God out of creation, what you have is nothing more than chaos. Someone asked me today, what's wrong with America? This is it. This is it. It's not our president. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's not, you know, these attacks from our enemies. This is it. This is where we are. This is why we have the mess we're in. And what God wants us to understand is that as we devalue God, we exalt man. So humanism is the answer. The result will be perversion and immorality on the highest order. Believing a lie? I hate for someone to lie to me. I don't know why I have this intolerance for someone to lie to me. I don't want any doctor to say, you're fine, I die the next day. You know what I mean? Because I'm coming back to get him. I'm telling you. Don't lie to me. You know why? I realized this week in praying over this message why. Because Satan has lied to me over and over and over again. And can I tell you this? He's lied to you too. If you think your religion is more important than God, your pleasure's more important than God, he's lied to you too. If you think somehow Jesus Christ needs to be kicked out of your life and bring this into your life, you bought into the lie. And all I'm trying to get us to do is see the truth behind the lie. Because honestly, it's clear and it's spelled out for us who changed the truth of God into a lie. Because we want to make sure we give all the glory to God. Question. What are you spotlighting in your life? What are you giving more glory to in your life than God? When you start glorifying God is the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the moment. That's when it really matters. That's when God becomes the first place in your life. What are you glorifying? What are you spotlighting? What are you shining the light on in your life? Is it a relationship? Or is it Jesus Christ? The Bible says if we call upon him, he will save us. He will be our Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as our heads are bowed this morning before you, we realize that spiritually we've been told a lie. Satan has tried to get us to believe the fact that there is something better than Jesus Christ. For some of us, it has been ourselves, our own way. For some, it's been religion. For some, it's a relationship or a habit that they cling to. And they use that as their excuse to not glorify you. Lord, I pray that today you'd please help us to become aware of the truth behind the lie. Lord, that you will open our mind and our understanding to this very truth. Because, Lord, we know that what we believe will affect our behavior. And I pray that we'll believe right. While our heads are bowed, as I finish the prayer in just a moment, maybe some of you might be here today and you said, you know, you have to be honest and say, you know, the devil's lied to me too, preacher. Quite frankly, he spotlighted things in my life other than Jesus Christ. And I have to realize, and I realize and have to admit the fact that it's time that I take the spotlight off of those things and put them on Jesus in my life. Put the glory on him. Let him be magnified in my life. While our heads are bowed, as our Christian today would say, preacher, God spoke to me in your message. I have been like you. I realize that I need to take the focus off of me and put it on Jesus, or off of this thing and put it on Jesus. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? Just let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being so honest. Will you include me in your prayer as well, as we pray in just a moment? Because I want to do that too. I struggle with it because I know that's how the devil works. Second question is this. Let me ask you this. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you've never accepted Jesus and him only as a way to heaven, you put a spotlight on a religion or on a denominational label or on something else other than Jesus, you say, you know, I have to be honest enough to say, God spoke to my heart, preacher, I certainly need Jesus Christ. Pray for me. You're not sure. There's ever been a time in your life when you called upon him, as the Bible says. You say, pray for me. Is there someone like that? Would you let me pray for you? Slip up your hand for just a moment. I'm not 100% sure I've ever done that. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? Would you let me pray for you? Teenager, child, adult. Is there someone? God speaking to our hearts. Can we stand on our feet very quietly while I finish that prayer? And then, as I'm praying, if God's speaking to your heart, you'd like to come and just pray here at the altar, we invite you to come right now. God's speaking, and I just pray we'll do what God says. Just decide right now that you will put the spotlight off of yourself or off of your issue or off of your problem and put them on Jesus Christ. Just as I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I've been guilty. And others have said, preacher, please pray for me. Lord, I'm praying for all of us. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to focus our light on the glory of God. Lord, it's so easy to believe the lie. It's so easy to believe that somewhere along the way that there is something better than Jesus. And Lord, we know that is not true. That's a lie. You're awesome. You're perfect. You're magnificent. You're holy. You're satisfying. You're comforting. Lord, I pray that today, if there's one that has never met Jesus Christ, that, Lord, this would be the day, Lord, that they would have the courage to say, you know, I just need Jesus. As our heads are bowed, and I'll finish the prayer, but I just feel compelled by the Holy Spirit. Is there someone who would say, that's my prayer? I need Jesus.